Let's take our Bibles, turn to the book of Nehemiah. I think we're going to wrap this thing up this morning. We shall see. Nehemiah, if you'd all stand, please. Having spent some time in the book of Nehemiah, how many of you think he'd probably made a pretty good pastor? How many of you think he would? Be honest. Be honest. Come on. Okay. Remember that. You just got set up. Nehemiah chapter 13. Last week we preached from the text, verse 1 through verse 22. Today we'll read the rest of the chapter, but I'm going to back up and read one other verse, chapter 13, verse 7. Chapter 13, verse 7. The Bible says in Nehemiah 13, 7, "And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God." Then we'll pick it up in verse 23. "In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people." Nehemiah says, "And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair." What a pastor. That's a pretty good verse. I felt like just preaching this. Matter of fact, I think I might read this text while I'm out here closer to you. What do you think, Brother Tom?
Amen.
You got plenty to pluck. Something tells me he'd do more than pluck if I started plucking his hair off. You know why he'd probably retaliate different than this crowd? Because this crowd was afraid to touch the Lord's anointed. There's a different attitude nowadays, isn't there? Whole different world we're living in now. Man alive, Nehemiah says, "I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves." He said, "I made them swear. We ain't doing that again." Verse 26. "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin." Boys, if you're not married, look out for them outlandish women. Say, what's that? Well, since you don't know, come see me and I'll tell you. Verse 27, "Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives?" Well, there's some strange ones out there. I was trying to give counsel to a man one time. He'd been married about 30 years. I don't know how long he'd been married. And I was trying to tell him how to handle it. He come to see me. He said, "What would you do?" And I gave him some counsel, and he leaned up in his seat and got real close to me. He said, "You ain't never been married to a crazy woman, have you?" What he said. I said, "If only you knew." Verse 28. "And one of the sons of Joada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me." Man, what a pastor. And then he says this, "Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers and appointed the wards of the priest and the Levites, everyone in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good." Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this time and thank you for this book. Thank you for the privilege of giving. Thank you for the good time of Sunday school and the different classes. Thank you, Lord, for the great congregational singing. Thank you, God, for those three ladies and the song that they sung to remind us of the love of God. And now thank you for the time of preaching. I pray that the Holy Spirit would do what I can't. God, I pray that you would be glorified and that your people would be edified and that we'd leave this place drawing closer to you. Meet with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. You ever seen a situation where a child, maybe it's a young teenager, but a child, is upset with a decision that the parents have just made? Anybody ever seen that situation? If you've lived very long at all, you've seen that situation. And the child gets upset, crying, fussing, you know, huffing and puffing, talking under their breath, stomping off to their bedroom and slamming the door, things like that, you know. Some of you have never seen that at your house because you don't have kids. And eventually, the parents try to console the child. They try to reason with the child and try to talk to the child. And ultimately, that young child says something like this: "You just don't understand." Right? Isn't that the way it goes? Got one honest man in the house. That's the way it goes. Now, generally speaking, adults, who would you say really doesn't understand? It's most likely the child. They just can't see everything that we can see. They don't know everything we know. They're screaming, "You just don't understand." And you're thinking, "Oh, I wish they knew how much I understand." Boys and girls, teenagers, young men, young ladies, listen to me. You'd be amazed if you knew how much your parents understand. You really would. But since you don't think they understand, you're just going to have to trust the way God set things up and trust them. You're just going to have to trust them. You don't think they understand, but God put them in charge and told you to obey and to honor. If you're smart, you'll simply trust Him even though you think they don't understand. We often quote Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." So you and I have a certain kind of understanding, and God has a certain kind of understanding. Your children have a certain kind of understanding, and you have a certain kind of understanding. Right? And so after the verse, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding," two verses later in Proverbs 3:7, it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." That'd be a good one to get a hold of, wouldn't it? So let me say this. There are some things I don't understand about God. He knows that. He's not surprised when I say that. A lot of times as I watch what goes on in our world, I wonder why. You ever been there? God, why? Why did you let that happen? God, why him? Why her? Why that? How many of you have ever wondered why? Yes, sir. Me too. Listen, Isaiah 55 says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God says, listen, you're not going to understand. My ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. Psalm 147:5 says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." I'm talking about understanding. His understanding is infinite. And so when I wonder why God allows certain things, when I wonder why God does certain things, when I wonder why He doesn't do certain things, when I have these questions of why, you know what I'm prone to think in my natural human state? I'm prone to think that God simply should not have, and you can fill in the blank. Anybody else honest enough to admit that? Anybody honest enough to say, you know what, God, I don't think You should have let that happen. And I don't think You should have done that. Been there. It's crossed my mind. God, I sure wish You hadn't, and I really don't think You should have. And when I start thinking like that, I have to remind myself that the problem is not with God, the problem is with me. What is my problem? I don't understand. And therefore I have to trust. And that's where faith comes in. There's just things I don't understand. I've told the Lord about it. God, that just doesn't seem fair. God, I don't know why You did that. God, I don't know why You allowed that. God, why him of all people? Why her of all people? God, why? And listen, the only way sometimes I can go to sleep at night is I have to remind myself, I just don't understand. And therefore, I've got to trust Him. Now, Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 7. Nehemiah 13, 7. And I came to Jerusalem. Are you with me? 13, 7. I want you to see this. And I came to Jerusalem in what? Understood. I'll tell you what made Nehemiah what he was. He understood some things. You know why he did what he did? He understood some things. You know why he said what he said? He understood some things. If you study Nehemiah, you think this man rises above the ruins of a wall that has been in shambles for a long time. He rises above the apathy of his day. He rises above the lethargy of his day. Why? Because he understood something. He understood some things. As a matter of fact, he so understood this, he called it evil when some would have not even noticed it. He said, and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, the way they had disrespected and desecrated the house of God. Most people didn't think anything about it, but Nehemiah understood some things. Most people just glossed over it, but Nehemiah understood some things. Most people thought he made a big deal out of it, but he understood some things. He understood some things, and so it affected the way he talked and acted and responded. So much that he contended and cursed and smote and plucked off their hair. Why did he do that? Because he understood some things. We think he's harsh. We think he's unkind, unfair, over the top. We'll talk about it in a moment. Listen, things have changed in our world, haven't they? When I was either a sophomore or a junior in high school, we had a teacher that should have retired long before she did. Any of you ever have a teacher like that? No, I'm not talking about the ones you wished had retired. And one day I got up to go sharpen my pencil, and this boy was sitting on the front seat, on the front desk, and he had his legs crossed right on the front, struck straight out. And foolish things cross your mind when you're 17. So I just sort of touched his feet with my feet and fell all over the floor and got up and said, "What'd you do that for?" Mrs. Smith came over. I kid you not, this was a white boy with an afro. I'm serious. Rhonda knows who I'm talking about. She grabbed him by the hair of his head and started doing this. I'm not kidding. You remember Miss Smith? Now listen, I saw it. I almost felt bad about it. But I was laughing too hard. I couldn't help it. Well, teacher can't get away with that anymore, can they? We fake the fight. Well, we've got some of that fake blood. Put it all over this kid. And we were, let's wait till she walks in the door and let's all be surrounding him. And he's screaming and yelling and I'm pounding. I never touched him. I won't tell you what she did that day. Things have changed in our world. We read this passage and think, how unfair, how over the top can you be, Nehemiah? Well, maybe we just don't understand some things that he did. In verse 26, we're in chapter 13. In verse 26, we see the word, did not Solomon, king of Israel, what? Sin. And down at the end of the verse, nevertheless, even him did what? Outlandish women caused to sin. In verse 27, he calls it a great evil and a transgression. And in verse 28, I chased him. Does anybody remember that Nehemiah's job is the governor? How'd you like to have a governor like Nehemiah? He had a zero tolerance policy for compromise. Just a zero tolerance policy. It reminds me a little bit of my Savior. Who in the book of Mark, but it's also in two other places, found them in the temple at the house of God buying and selling Tupperware. 31. Whatever that is. Sorry, Miss Holly. I don't care what it is. He makes him a whip, goes over, he turns the tables over, and they all left. What would you have done? He drove, the Bible says he drove them out. You know what I bet one of them said? You just don't understand. We were all here. It was a convenient time. Hey, I'm trying to help us. Jesus, you just don't understand. You ever read in the book of Proverbs about that crowd that was void of understanding? That's the crowd you better look out for. In the book of Proverbs, written especially to the young men, it lists a bunch of things that happened to people who were void of, they just didn't understand. The first thing it says about them, if you study it chronologically, is they just really got in trouble with the females. Boys that don't have much understanding mistake friendliness for flirting. Somebody told me between the services this morning about this boy and girl that met each other online. And they were texting each other back and forth. True story. And they had never seen each other. And finally, she sent him a picture of her sister. Now he wants to meet her. After about 6 months of texting, he came to meet her. She didn't look like her sister. He sued her. Yeah, literally. But the judge didn't help him at all. Basically told him, you're an idiot. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Good. I'm glad he called him an idiot. He was a man void of understanding. What's void mean? Empty. Bottomless pit in the brain area. This guy, void of understanding, gets in trouble with females and he always follows the wrong crowd in Proverbs. He wants to hang around the bigger guys and the stronger guys and the older guys because he thinks they're cool. Follows the wrong crowd. He gives money to the wrong people. And he doesn't realize the danger of laziness. Study what the Bible says about that bunch of boys that are void of understanding. Jesus, over and over again, if you read the gospel, said, are ye also without understanding? He'd look at the disciples and say that to them. Are ye also without understanding? One time he said, "Do you not yet understand?" After they'd been with him a long time, he said, "Don't you understand now?" One time he said, "Why do you not understand?" We read about the religious crowd in the Gospels that wanted him crucified. You know what it says about them over and over and over again? It says they understood not. They understood not. They understood not. They understood not. Let me give you a verse from the Psalm. Psalm 32 verse 9 says this, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding." You ever been called mule-headed? Stubborn as a mule? That's somebody that simply will not listen and receive instruction. Here's what God said in Deuteronomy 32. He said, "They are a nation void of counsel." Listen, neither is there any understanding in them. Wow. Now, I want you to get this one. This will picture America. God said of Israel, Deuteronomy 32, 28, "For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them." And then in verse 29, he says this, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." You know what God just revealed about people with no understanding? They just don't know where it's going to take them. They keep going down this path, but they never consider how it's all going to end up. Or they keep making the same mistake over and over and think they're going to get different results. God said that crowd that doesn't know how it's going to end up is void of understanding. Let me show you this in Nehemiah 13. Here's how it works in Nehemiah 13 verse 26. It says, let me read it to you, verse 26, please look. "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel." Now watch this, I want you to get this. It's very important. "Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women," what? "Cause." I had to look that word up. It says these outlandish women caused him to sin. Now, question, did they make him sin? Did they force him to sin? No, they just provided an occasion for it. You see, one of these days, you're going to say about your son, "It's that crowd he's hanging around. They might be the cause, but he's the problem." They might facilitate, but he's the one that made the decision. God told those kings, "Don't you be marrying them women." Solomon didn't listen. Boy, did he pay a price. Those outlandish women had him offering up babies to a god called Molech. Sacrificing children to the devil. Why? Because they didn't understand the latter end of it. You see, Nehemiah understood some things. He understood, listen to me, fellas, he understood the snowball effect of a bad decision. Can I just put it to you in a real compact illustration? Nehemiah understood the snowball effect of bad decisions. Here's the illustration. 60s and 70s, let's get rid of the Ten Commandments. Let's get rid of prayer. Let's get rid of the Bible in our schools. Not far after that, let's make abortion legal. 4,000 babies a day aborted. If you were to read what they do to those babies inside the mother at 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 months, it would make you cringe. If you saw videos of it, you would become almost ballistic. Let's get rid of God. Let's get rid of the Bible. Let's get rid of prayer. Let's get rid of the Ten Commandments. The next thing you know, we're legalizing abortion. And then the next thing you know, we're redefining marriage. The next thing you know, we're redefining male and female. Until now, judges in this country have said we can wait until that child is 7. You don't have to fill out the birth certificate. You can wait until they decide what they want to be. We have judges that think like that in this country. You don't have to fill it out. Wait until they get older and then they get to decide for themselves. No, they don't. God says they're either male or female, and how they feel about it is immaterial. You say, you're a little bit over the top, Brother Ron. You can just call me Nehemiah if you want to. I'm telling you, if we don't take a stand, there's no telling where this is going to end up. There's no telling. There's already, listen, you can go to prison for abusing a dog and get awarded for killing a baby. There's something wrong with that. What's the problem? They don't understand. Oh, they would say, we don't understand. Well, tell me this. Why is suicide now out the roof in its statistics? Why is divorce now the norm? Why are school shootings not anymore worried about but expected? Do you understand? Suicide now among young people is higher than it's ever been. Divorce is now the norm. School shootings are expected. And of course, the problem is the gun. Let's not talk about all these decisions we made in the 60s and 70s. And let's not talk about video games and Hollywood filth. Let's not talk about the drama and the glamorization of killing on the big screen. Let's not blame any of that. Let's just blame the gun. You know what their problem is? They don't understand. Or maybe they do and they're just liars. Tell me something. Those of you that think I'm over the top, you tell me who's without understanding. Tell me why that crowd can go hog wild about their liberal, wicked, Christ-rejecting agenda. When a preacher gets up and is hog wild about his, what's wrong with him today? When you ought to be asking, what's wrong with Oprah? I'm reading through the Bible and I read some shocking stories. Thousands of people die because David took a census. Hey, guys, go out and count everybody. I want to see how many people I'm king over. Thousands die because David counted everybody. Uzzah dies because he reached out to touch the ark so that it wouldn't fall off the cart. Be about like that Bible right there about to fall on me. Well, I didn't want that to happen. It's about like that, isn't it? And God killed him. I didn't say he died of a heart attack because he was worried about the ark. God killed him. I read over there in the Old Testament where innocent women and children die in war by the thousands. I'm being very honest with you, church. Listen to me. Achan steals a shirt and gets stoned and a wedge of gold and he gets stoned. Bunch of kids make fun of Elisha and two bears come out and kill 42 of them. I could tell you story after story after story that I read in my Bible and I read it and say, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. But I want to tell you something, church. When I read those stories and say to God, I don't understand, for me, that's progress. Because there was a time when I'd have been saying, you don't understand. There was a time when I'd have said, God, that just ain't right. But not anymore. It's a lot better to say, I don't understand, than God, you don't understand. And by the way, let me say this. I don't understand. But I do trust Him. I do trust Him. And I know that we will understand it better by and by. Yeah, we'll understand it better by and by. I can say this. I understand more than I used to. I understand a whole lot more than I used to. Can I show you a passage real quick? Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This is great, great, one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible, literally, without question. And in Psalm 119, look at verse 104. Through thy precepts, I get what? Understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Look at verse 130. First part's on our wall. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth what? Understanding unto the simple. As a matter of fact, well, go to Psalm 73. I was going to show you a few more verses in Psalm 119. Let me just read them. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Hey, I'll tell you how to have more understanding than the college professor. Spend time in this book. It'll help you. Then it says in verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. But it says in Psalm 73, verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Now you can get mad at me if you want to, but I'm going to tell you young people something. You'll get more understanding here than you will at UT. I didn't say you'd get more wisdom, worldly wisdom. I didn't say you'd get more knowledge. I didn't say you'd get more information, but you'll get more understanding. There's a big difference between knowledge and understanding. I won't take you to 1 Chronicles 12. You know what it says over there? It said there were certain people who had an understanding of the times. We're living in strange times. You know what we desperately need in this world we're living in? Some people that have an understanding of the times. That's in 1 Chronicles 12:32 for those of you that like to look those up. So let me wrap this up this morning. Short message. Nehemiah understood the snowball effect of sin. He understood the serious danger of defiling the house of God. Tell me something. The children of Israel, when you read in the book of Nehemiah, the children of Israel have been in Babylon. Why? Because they didn't take God's word seriously. They come back, rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls, and what do? Start making the same mistake over again. And I figure what Nehemiah is thinking is not on your life. I ain't letting that happen. And he starts grabbing hair. He's not going to let it happen again. Nehemiah understood the problem of taking lightly the Word of God. There's a passage, if you want to look it up, you can. I'm going to read it in Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2. I think it's very, very fitting for the story of Nehemiah. It says this in Malachi chapter 2. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. That sounds like Nehemiah, doesn't it? And I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already. Why? Because you do not lay it to heart. 1978, God called me to preach. And he said, preach the word. Not political correctness. Not feel-good theology. Preach the book. Sometimes I cringe. Sometimes I struggle. Sometimes I fear the response of the people I love the most. But I cannot take it lightly. In Matthew 22, God sent a messenger out, and the Bible says they made light of it. They made light of it. Nehemiah understood the snowball effect of sin, the serious danger of defiling the house of God, the problem of taking lightly God's word. He understood the tragic results of having a casual, flippant attitude towards worship. You know, in the Old Testament days and in the olden days in America, they knew the importance of a yoke. The Bible says in Lamentations, it's good for a young man to bear a yoke in his youth. They understood the importance of restraining children. They understood the importance of correction. And they knew that they had to do those things before things got out of hand. I walked into an economics class. Some of you are going to think I had a mean bunch of teachers. I had some great teachers. But I'll never forget walking into an economics class. And the professor was Mr. Boyd. The teacher was Mr. Boyd. And he only had one good arm. His other arm was just like this. I mean, he had to put it wherever he wanted it. He'd stick it in his pocket a lot of times. He'd have to reach over and put it in there. But it just did this. So I guess if you've only got one arm, the other one gets pretty strong. And boy, did his get plenty strong. He was also my typing teacher. One hand. First day of economics class, some old boy did something. I don't know what he did. I still don't know what he did. All these hundreds of years later. And man, he popped his fingers, looked at, he said, "Come here, young man." He got that old boy up there, and he made him put his hands on the desk. And then he made him pull his feet way back. I'm not kidding. It scared the living daylights out of him. He pulled out a paddle in my mind's eye. Okay? I mean, the teacher drug it up there to him, you know. It's about that long. That's why I remember it. Now here, I'm not exaggerating. I promise you, when he hit him, both feet come off the floor. I was a model student in that class. Back in those days, teachers were trained. You got to get a grip at the early part of the year or you'll lose them. You can't be loose and then tighten up. You got to be tight and then you might can get loose. And America's lost that common sense. We need to hire us some Nehemiahs in our schools and in our churches. It used to be called righteous indignation. Paul was in the Bible in Acts 17 and he saw the whole city given to idolatry, and the Bible says his spirit was stirred. He got angry. Nehemiah got angry. Let me ask you a question. Do you understand? You say, "Really don't, Brother Ron." All right. Then you better trust. Maybe you don't understand why God does some of the things He does. You better learn to trust Him, because He does know what's best. He really does.